Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance with extra benefits like personal accident cover.
Well, first this morning, COVID, as we all know, brought many impositions to our lives, from mask wearing to social distancing to having to isolate. But for my next guest, such restrictions have, for much of her life as a cystic fibrosis sufferer, been very much the norm. Gillian McNulty is a prominent cystic fibrosis sufferer and campaigner who's just marked a major milestone in her own life. And she joins me this morning ahead of the annual Cystic Fibrosis Fundraising Day on Friday next. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Miriam.
Thanks for coming up from Longford Town this morning for
Thank you for having me in.
Listen, just to remind people, Gillian, you, of course, came to huge prominence in this country during the lengthy and hard-fought battle to secure government approval for the groundbreaking therapy, Orkambi, and other revolutionary drugs. First this morning, what kind of difference have those therapies made to the lives of people with CF?
They have literally transformed the lives of people with CF. I mean, it's completely changed the face of CF. Even for me personally, I've been on them now for 10 years. And I know if it wasn't for Vertex drugs, I wouldn't be here. I mean, the first time I started them was in 2012. I went on a trial for Orkambi. And at that time, I had been hospitalised every 4 to 5 weeks. Like, probably 8-9 months of the year was my life in hospital. And then I started Orkambi, and suddenly I was going into hospital only twice a year, then once a year. It made such a difference, and that was why I was so passionate about ensuring that everybody got access. I think only 12 of us had got on the trial, and obviously the price of it was extortionate. But I knew that we weren't going to get the drug, or other people weren't going to get the drug. And I had seen the difference that it made to me. So I just thought, no, I just can't sit back and see my life change and watch. I was watching my friends die. They were literally just dying week by week. And I couldn't stand by and allow that to happen, which is why I started the campaign and I organised the protests at Dáil Éireann, and I annoyed everyone's head. I'm sure people were fed up listening to me, as were the TDs, and like, I was onto them so much. And we got the drug thanks to Simon Harris. He was amazing. He ensured that not only did we get Orkambi, but that we got the pipeline deal for 10 years, so any drugs that came after Orkambi. And that included Simkevi, which I then went on, and then now Kaftrio. And Kaftrio, I mean, Orkambi and Simkevi are like Smarties in comparison to Kaftrio. Kaftrio is just, now, like every drug, it doesn't work for everybody, unfortunately. But for a lot of people, it's been miraculous. It's been miraculous for me. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Kaftrio. I ended up getting it on compassionate use 19 months ago. And I haven't been in hospital since.
And you look absolutely amazing. You look so healthy.
And that's in kidney failure.
Which we'll come back to. Go right back first, though, Gillian. As we said, you came up from Longford Town this morning, born and bred. Tell me about your family and how you were born, because I know your mum was told you weren't even going to live very long. Tell me about your background.
When I was born, there was four kids. It's mum and dad. I live with mum and dad at home. And they have four children, Derek, Gary, myself and Fran. Derek was the firstborn, and he was diagnosed with CF when he was 2.5. So we were all then naturally tested for CF when we were born. And my mum was told my sweat test was so high, she was told I wouldn't live past 4 or 5, that I would have such a severe strain of CF. But I'm here to find doctors still. I know I make them scratch their heads a lot. I'm always like, my dialysis nurse specialist calls me the small print that nobody ever reads, because if something's going to happen, it's going to happen to me, or it'll be the small print that you don't read that's going to happen. So
Derek was the eldest.
Derek was the eldest, then Gary, then myself, and then the youngest is Fran.
And tell me about Derek and Gary.
Derek had cystic fibrosis. Derek died when he was 5.5. Gary was 31 when he died. He was special needs. He died in a convulsion. He just never came out of it, unfortunately. And that broke us all. That did break us all. Gary was the backbone of the family.
And of course, you were saying to me, your mum drove you up today, and she's outside in the car park here in RT listening. She wouldn't come in. But she and your dad, they've been through so much. But she is like literally the backbone to you.
Oh, Mam is my backbone. Mam drives me to dialysis 3 days a week. She brings me to all my checkups. Same with Gary, Derek. She's always been there for us for our hospital appointments and stuff. She's amazing. She's an incredible mam. We kill each other half the time, like. But she's amazing. I'd be lost without her. I really, really would.
And as you say, she was told that you probably wouldn't live beyond five, but you celebrated a milestone birthday, didn't you? Tell me about that recently.
46 2 weeks ago. Mad. Like, it's mad to think of 46. I don't feel 46. My body does, but I don't. I feel like I'm still in my 20s.
And why do you think you have defied all the odds, Gillian?
Well, my mum, for a start, mum always makes sure that I've had the best treatment that I can get. She's always there, even though I'm 46. Like, she claps me in the morning when I'm doing my physio. She's still very tough. Like, there's times, like, I do everything I should do. I'm very compliant. I'm also very stubborn, and I know I get that from mummy. And that's probably why I'm still here. I like to prove doctors wrong, and I'm always the type that if a doctor says to me, you know, you can't do this, well, I'm like, okay, watch me, and I will prove you wrong. And I think it's more my stubbornness, like, plus very hard work. It is hard work to stay healthy with CF. It really is.
Tell me about December 2019. I think it was just before the first lockdown, and you went through a particularly tough time. What happened?
Oh, God. I had been in hospital for about 6 weeks. I was quite sick. I had a bad infection, and loads of different things had happened. I was on peritoneal dialysis, and we now know that it just wasn't working. But the 19th of December, the last thing I can remember was being diagnosed with appendicitis. I was like, oh, for God's sake. And I remember the doctor saying, look, we'll put you on different IVs. And if it doesn't work, if the inflammation doesn't come down within 3 days, we'll have to do surgery. I was like, oh, God. The next morning, all I remember, I was very confused at the time, was ringing Mammy at 8 o'clock. It was a Saturday, excuse me. And I rang Mamma and I said, Mam, I don't feel well. There's something wrong. I don't feel right. And all I can remember is hearing Mammy saying, okay, Gillian, we're going to leave now. I'll be there in 2 hours. That's all I remember. And I woke up and I couldn't move. I couldn't talk. I couldn't walk. And then I was told I'd been in a coma and on a life support for 10 days. No memory, obviously. I had to learn to walk, to talk. I had to learn to do everything again. Even when I woke up, I couldn't hold a phone. I didn't know what happened. I thought I was paralysed. It was horrendous. It was horrendous. And we now know, like, that the peritoneal dialysis that I was on wasn't removing the toxins from my body, which led to the coma.
And you were down the road here in Vincent's, yeah, of course. And when the whole country then went into lockdown in early 2020, you were in a very different kind of lockdown, weren't you?
Yeah. Just at the beginning of the lockdown, I had got very sick, and I was admitted across the road to Vincent's, and I was literally in a room by myself for 3.5 months. No windows. We couldn't open the windows because there was building work going on and that could potentially cause bugs in our lungs. So I had no fresh air. I wasn't allowed visitors. I wasn't allowed to leave the room. I was stuck in a room, and I'm claustrophobic. And I can't even tell you what that was like. It was horrendous. It was, and I was really, really sick. I ended up, like, I was actually dying. I ended up with 13% lung function. I was on 3 litres of continuous oxygen. I was in a wheelchair. And, like, the highlight of my stay was getting out for an X-ray. Like, because I could leave the room. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm leaving the room. I'm going for an X-ray.
But I'm looking at you now and you're so well. So what got you out of that?
Caftrio.
That drug?
Yeah, that drug. About 3 months in, my consultant said, look, we're going to try and get you on compassionate access of Caftrio. And I didn't want to hold, I didn't want to get my hopes up because I didn't think I'd get it, because they'd tried to get it when I was in the coma and compassionate use and they couldn't. And when he said I got it 7 days later. And I remember I did a TikTok of me taking the first tablet, and I looked like absolute crap. I looked so bad. I could barely talk. And I took it, like, excited that my life was going to change. Being honest, I really didn't think it was going to transform my life in the way it did, because I hadn't given up, but I knew I was slipping away very, very quick. And literally, like within 3 days, my mum was allowed in on compassionate access visits, but she wasn't allowed into the hospital. I was allowed to meet her outside for an hour once a week because I was so sick and because I wasn't coping. And that Sunday, I started it on the Thursday, and that Sunday I ran. I mean, when I say I ran, I actually ran down to Mammy, and her face. I just remember her face when I stood outside the door and I was like, I'm here. And she was like, what the hell? She was crying, not visibly crying, yeah. But her pretending she wasn't crying, you know. Yeah. And she was like, what? So I started doing my TikToks, and I was off the oxygen within a week, and I was discharged within a week and a half, and I'd been in there 3.5 months. And I've literally gone from strength to strength. Myself and Fran then started hiking. I'd never done a hike in my life. Like 3 weeks after I got out of hospital, or 3 weeks after I started Caftrio, myself and Fran were climbing Knocknarea. Now, that might as well have been Mount Everest for me, because I was really weak. I was really skinny, like I was 20 kilos lighter than I am now. It's incredible. It's incredible. I cannot praise that drug enough.
It's incredible, actually, to think of that. Mm. And when you were like, because people moan all the time about little things in their lives. When you were stuck in that room in Vincent's, obviously for your own good, they were trying to protect you and make you better. How do you keep yourself strong for those 3.5 months?
I'm quite a strong person anyway. I tend not to think negatively. but after about 6 weeks in the room, it did start to get to me. And I was diagnosed with PTSD from the trauma of the coma. and that was hard, because I was waking up in the middle of the night screaming, because I was seeing leopards coming in and people coming in trying to kill me and stuff like that. It was just bizarre. But honestly, my TikToks kept me going. I can't dance to save my life, but I was trying to do them. But you just have to just keep going. And I was listening to people then complaining about, lockdown, I can't go out, I have to wear a mask. And they're going, oh my God, I'm lying here in a room by myself for the last 2 months with 13% lung function on oxygen, and you're complaining that you have to wear a mask or you can't go out on a Saturday night. Like, you know, my mouth can get me into trouble sometimes because I've very low tolerance for people that complain for no reason.
Mm. And actually, one of our listeners has just texted in and to say, Miriam, your guest reminds us to think of all those who are so ill in these days when mask wearing is now optional. Perhaps this would be a good day to ask people to cop on a mask up on buses, trains and in shops, and do it for those who can't really afford to get even a whisper of COVID-19. Thank you. Yeah. That's a good point. And of course, you're not just living with cystic fibrosis. You've other issues as well, haven't you?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm diabetic. I'm asthmatic. And the worst thing is kidney failure. I'm in kidney failure, which means I have to go to dialysis 3 days a week in Vincent's, across the road. Vincent's are amazing.
From Longford Town.
Yeah.
And your mum does that with you?
And my mum drives me. I'm not capable. I can drive, yeah. But most days after dialysis, I'm really weak or I'm cramping, so I wouldn't be able to drive. Like most days, some days mummy has to, or a nurse has to bring me out to the car. So I'm just not capable of driving.
And you, I think, is this right, Jenny? Are you the first CF patient with your own lungs to go on dialysis?
Yeah, it's common amazing. When you have a lung transplant that you will need a kidney, but I have my own lungs and I'm the first person to end up on kidney failure and be listed for a kidney transplant. So it's just a bit.
Another remarkable element to you. And listen, how are you coping with dialysis?
It's tough, I won't lie. It's like I'm on dialysis now 2.5 years, waiting for a kidney 2 years. And the longer I'm on dialysis, the weaker my body is getting. Like it is, I'm getting really weak. It just ruins your muscles. And it's a bit of a pain having to come up 3 days a week and sit in the machine for 3.5 hours. And it's just, I just want to get my kidney. Now, I'm optimistic. I'm positive. I know I will get the call when I'm meant to get the call. But it's dragging.
Because you're waiting and hoping for a transplant, aren't you? And is it right that there was a marked decrease in the number of transplants taking place during the pandemic?
Yeah. Across the board, all transplants have dropped since 2019. The kidneys, 21% drop, which is scary. It's really, really scary. And if that continues, I mean, so many people are dying, waiting for a kidney. And I know, like, the group that I started with, there's five people that have died, the original group of dialysis. And that's really hard, you know, when you go in and they're not there anymore. And I don't want to become a statistic, because I fought long and hard to survive CF, to defy the doctors with my CF. So I need to continue to defy them. So I really do need to get my kidney. And I would urge anybody to make sure that they sign the organ donor card, so that lives like mine can be saved.
And hopefully, are you hopeful, Gillian, of getting a transplant, or do you know, where you're even now on the list?
I'm on the cadaver list. Which,
what does
again,
that mean?
It's someone has to die to save my life, basically. And I don't like that. I try not to think about it because I would get too upset. But I also, one of my friend's husbands, Sean, I won't mention a second name, but he's actually going forward to give me his kidney to become a live donor. I know there's a meeting on Wednesday in Beaumont about that. So hopefully, I have everything crossed, and I've everybody praying that Sean is the same blood type. But we just, it's a very complicated process. You have to match tissues and antibodies and stuff like that. So I'm hoping that he's a match, that potentially I could have my kidney by the end of the summer.
People are amazing though.
People are, like, I've had five or six people go forward, and for one reason or another, they weren't suitable. But it's just the fact that, you know, Sean and Siobhan have said, like, oh yeah, it's fine. I'm like, no, it's actually, he has to give me a kidney. Like, it's a big deal. It's not like giving me a bag of sweets. And they're like, no, it's because of, they say, because of all I've done, two of their kids have CF, and they say I've added years to their kids' lives with the drugs. Yeah. So I'm kind of like, okay, but it's a kidney. So I'm hopeful.
Now, tell me about the 65 themed challenge. Typically, what kind of thing might people do? This is an important fundraiser day, isn't it?
Yes,
explain,
it is.
Tell
it's
people
really
about
important.
It.
I know a lot of the challenges are already set, but people, for people that want to support it, Dunn Stores and shopping centres and other shops on the Friday, 65 Roses Day, they will be selling pins.
That's next
stuff
Friday.
Like that. Yes, that's next Friday. And those funds really go towards so much in CF Ireland. There's like exercise grants, PPE grants, IVF assessments, transplant assessments, different clinical posts and research. It goes into so much. It's not just like, it's really important that people support it and donate to 65 Roses on the website, 65roses.ie.
And you do this amazing ball as well every year. I actually saw you online a couple of months back looking absolutely magnificent in this beautiful ball gown. Tell us about this ball.
Yeah, I've organised it now. I mean, it's in the fourth or fifth year of the Valentine's Ball for Cystic Fibrosis in Lochrane Castle. It's every year. I have it in the same venue because they're amazing,
so
down there. It's an amazing castle and there's lovely grounds. Everybody loves it. But yeah, I just decided, just rather than physical challenges, because the physical challenges were getting tough coming into kidney failure. So just the ball, it's not physical, but people have a good night out. This year, it was amazing. Next year's is already almost sold out. I know the hotel is fully booked, and it was fully booked 2 days after the ball. All the tickets are nearly sold for next year. So it's just, it's incredible. And again, it raises so much money for Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. And I also give 50% to the CF Ward in St. Vincent's as well. I think it's just really important just to get for stuff that we need that they wouldn't have the money for. So it's incredible. You might come next year yourself.
I'll be there.
Will you?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Booked
Brilliant.
In now. Listen, our listeners, Tiernan in Longford goes, Gillian is a living Longford legend, a wonderful warrior. Brian in Clondalkin says, hi Miriam, I hope Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar are paying attention to Gillian. Talk about heroes. Another person says, I got up this morning feeling sorry for myself. This lovely, strong person has kicked me into reality. And I'll give you one more. So heartening to listen to Gillian this morning. I followed her for a few years and her remarkable positivity is even more apparent listening to her on radio. I mean, you are remarkable.
I don't think so.
yeah, but you are. Yeah, are you... When you think about your own life, do you ever allow yourself, as we close, feel sorry for yourself? Like, why did you get CF? Or do you never think like that?
No. The very, very odd time I might, but no, I don't. There's no point. Like, the likes of CF thrives on negativity, so I just don't think about it, and I try and stay as positive as I can to try and prove everybody wrong.
Which you have. Doctors.
Yeah.
And now as you head back out to your mom, I gather you're heading to the zoo.
We're going to the zoo. I love the zoo. I'm like a child. I cannot wait to go and see the orangutans.
Yeah, well, look, have a great day. And Gillian, just to mention again, as well as the 65 Roses Challenge, you can also donate online at 65roses.ie. Gillian McNulty, I wish you the very best of health. Here's hoping the kidney transplant happens for you very, very soon. And thanks for being my guest this morning.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. We'll take a break.